We are in the midst of making a somewhat of a run through the Christmas story account as it's given in Luke chapter 2. There are basically two long presentations, one in Matthew and one in Luke, and we are not going through the first chapter of Luke and what he has to deal with there, just looking at the second chapter. So let's prepare ourselves in prayer. We have so many things to take a look at in this section, and it will occupy our time. And in order to see what's going on this night as Christ was born, let's allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes that we might see. Pray. What a privilege it is, Father, to settle ourselves back, present ourselves to your Spirit for the purpose of opening our eyes so we might see this monumental event in the history of man and even of angels, where you lowered yourself to become man. By no means, Father, can we grasp such a love that is beyond our understanding. But to the degree that our finite minds can comprehend these things, we pray that your Spirit will begin to open our eyes so we might see. Pray, Father, that you'll protect us from the powers of darkness that seek to intrude, interrupt, minimize things that we're about to see. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Sunday we dealt with very briefly that we're studying how God became man, and we examined Sunday morning why would God do this? Why is God doing this? When we think about this sovereign, omnipotent, infinite being of God, why would he lower himself, as it were, to become man? And we saw that he did this to win our hearts back from when we left his love in the garden. This is a demonstration of his love. And then we looked at it from the standpoint of why was Jesus Christ born. And Jesus Christ was born because you were born. This is very personal. Everything that he does is not for the masses. It's for the individual. We saw in the communion service, that this is my body, which is for you individually. So Jesus Christ was born because you were born. And then thirdly, we looked at the aspect that what God is doing here is that no one has seen God. And yet he wants to win our hearts back. And we are finite. Not only are we finite, but we are also fallen finite, fallen creatures, depraved, wretched. And so we are in even a greater need. And since no one has seen God, he has seen fit to reveal himself to us. And he did this on Christmas morning. He began the process of revealing himself to us. What we're seeing here then is the action of love. Love acts. God's love, spiritual love, acts. And so what we're really viewing here is the action of love. He is revealing himself to man. We think of all the things that I've just talked about, these three major points. It begins capturing our view of God. Over and over we come to that very important question, what is your view of God? How do you view God in so many areas of life? Salvation, spirituality, blessings, eternity now, eternal security. What is your view of God? And these are just awesome concepts, these three that we have noted, that God would lower himself and become man and do this. Now, let's begin tonight with looking at the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we have the actions of love to win back our hearts, to win us back to him. Let's read the first two verses and note some things and then move on. Verse 1. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Verse 2 is really challenging. Why is that given? Why did Luke include that? Even better stated, why did the Holy Spirit include verse 2? Okay, what we're looking at here then, since we've looked at our three major questions of why God would do this, we're looking at the time. And this is going to become important, the time when Christ was born and what was going on at this time. The time when God became man to win our hearts back. We're looking at the historical phenomenon that was going on. Now, unlike a normal, I guess we could say, Christmas study, I wouldn't necessarily be going over and looking at Judges, but since we're in the midst of studying the announced birth and the miraculous birth of Samson, we're seeing here two very strong parallels. At the time when Jesus Christ was born and announced and born the miraculous birth, Israel was under the rule of Rome. It was under the rule of Rome. Rome 1. Rome 2 will come up again later in history. So Israel is under the control, power, rule of Rome. Now, when Samson was born, the very first verse dealing with the birth of Samson tells us we have a parallel time. The time, what was going on?